Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, but this is an alternate Farrell's reality. So it's,
well, wait,
it's plausible.
Sorry, no,
you've got talking wrong.
An alternate Farrell's reality? What, to the normal Farrell's reality? Is this like Sliders?
There's a rat called Rattus. He's the leader of the bunch. Called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Mix, he's a mother, not a mixed up bunny.
Farrell,
that's the Farrells for ya.
Farrells,
don't mess with the Farrells. The Farrells, they're gonna get you. That's the Farrells.
Hello and welcome to the Farrells Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Swinney
and Keith. Oh yeah.
So this is the season finale.
That was unexpected.
It was. That was not scripted.
I didn't even script it in my own head, to be honest.
How do I completely believe that? So we have episode 15, season's greedings, emphasis on the greed. Nice little pun there. And yeah, this is the last episode of this season, which is exciting and somewhat disappointing because I feel like, you know, it's getting better with time.
It is.
But we will do season two. We can 100% officially announce that. But for a very special episode, we will be doing a bonus podcast next week, Meet the Feebles. So that will be very interesting, recorded at Mike's house. Which, yeah. Hope there's no geo-tagging or anything in the audio recordings, or else you're in trouble, Mike.
That's for better or worse, considering we were a bit looser in our structure and language.
Yeah. And I actually wish we were drinking, because then it would be more explainable.
Well, I was, but not enough.
Yeah, true, actually. I had to drive, so...
Didn't even get tipsy.
Being responsible, see? Yeah, exactly. So, the episode opens with...
Go on. I haven't got anything terribly important to say, just in case you think it's like last week when I'm going to ask you like...
Given that you
questions.
Interrupted me, but yeah, go on.
You mentioned that this episode is called Season's Greetings.
Yes.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah. Now, Monkey Boy, I know you're often checking out stuff on IMDb on the Ferals.
Correct.
Did you notice that there's actually a Sliders episode called Season's Greetings as well?
Nice. So, I love that Sliders show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That would have come out after this, right?
Yeah.
Pretty similar time, actually.
No, Sliders would have been after this, definitely.
But Sliders was mid to late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when you're considering the production of this, this is early to mid. That episode actually came out in 96.
Oh, wow. Really close. Really close. Season's greeting. It's a pretty obvious pun, though. Let's be real.
Yeah. Anyway. I believe there's also an Angry Birds level called that or something.
You mean really, Gorilla? No. The Gorilla GameCube Basic.
Oh, let's not start that.
Hey, that started everything.
It's giving me nightmares.
Worms, Angry Birds, it's all just a copy of that game.
So you're saying that, what is it, Cubasic Gorillas?
Yes.
I can't believe I don't know exactly what it's called after I heard it like 50 times and edited that bit.
No, Cubasic is the programming language it was written in.
No, but you kept on saying it's Cubasic Gorillas.
Yeah, because that's what it's actually called.
Because it was made in Cubasic.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't believe we're opening another episode with this.
Alright, let's go.
I've totally lost my train of thought. Anyway,
I believe we're talking about
Uncle
Jackson Burger King.
So to start this episode, season's greetings, we have the Ferals doing a B&E to steal, quote-unquote, their presents from Lenny and Robbie. So it obviously opens up to a Christmas theme, this episode. The start of this episode, it reminded me of... I can't believe I'm diverging from the first minute, but have you guys ever heard the story about me and Santa and my honesty with that? Or have I already told the story?
Your honesty.
Is it anything like my story where I put pepper in the milk?
Okay, well, I'll tell my story and I want to hear about your story. So I think it was in prep. So that's like when you're, what, 5 or 6?
What are you getting prep for?
You know, prep? Prep grade?
Nah.
I don't even know what it stands for. Preparatory?
Yeah. Preparatory.
Okay.
Preparatory.
I can't even say that word.
It's like, you can't say preparatory.
Sounds like a club run by Peter Bear.
Anyway.
Can you say specifically?
Specifically.
Specifically.
Okay. Specificity. Can you say specificity?
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 You almost got you then. Anyway, so I didn't believe that Santa was real. I thought that my parents were Santa from, like, forever. There's no time in my life where I think I believed in Santa.
I don't believe that.
Didn't make sense. I guess I should have a spoiler alert if anyone's listening with children. Anyway, I should edit it, but I won't. Anyway, so I stayed up one night and found my parents, like, putting presents.
Ooh.
So, like, I realized it's not real. And when we resumed class, we had show and tell, and everyone's like, oh, here's my, like, little doll, and I don't know. These are rubbish show and tell recollections. But I wanted to tell, and I got up in front of everyone, and I told, oh, there's no Santa. It's just your parents buying presents for you. And everyone's, like, crying. All the kids are crying because they know I was pretty honest. And then my parents got dragged into the principal's office saying, oh, you know, if you nutters want to, you know, not tell your kid about Santa, that's fine.
But why are they the nutters?
Tell everyone else. Well, you know, like, you know, not, you know, being a bit like party poopers. But my folks were just like, no, we tried to convince him. We tried to, you know, tell him, but he doesn't believe it. So that's my little story.
I'm sorry for having a rational kid. See, on the topic of Santa, I think it's the biggest lie we teach our kids. And I don't agree with the idea of, you know, teaching our kids shit like that from an early age and teaching them that lying's fine and deceiving's fine and all that other crap.
But you don't
preparing
even,
them for...
Don't even believe in the concept of kids.
No, but...
They're not real. Kids aren't real.
But regardless, from a psychological perspective, why lie to them at such an early age and prepare them with all these lies when they're kids as opposed to just being honest with them?
Yeah, okay.
It's preparing them for the real world because that's what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, why does it happen? It's because we keep perpetuating that idea that we need to lie to people and we lie to them from a really early age as opposed to people just being honest.
No, it's reality.
Yeah, but we create our own reality, Luke. Society creates its own reality.
This is getting
it keeps
deep.
Going on and on and on and on because we keep perpetuating these ideas.
I came here to talk about puppets. We're going to talk about puppets.
Yes,
exactly. Look what it causes us to do. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to skip your story, Swinny, so I can get back on track.
No, wait, I want to hear Swinny's story. I want to hear the pepper story. Just quickly, pepper story.
No, there's not much more to it. I felt deceived, so I decided to put a whole lot of pepper in the milk.
Yeah.
Essentially choke out my father with the pepper in the milk.
And that's when he left, right? And you haven't seen him since.
That's the precise reason. You knuckled it down on point right there.
That is ridiculous. I could just imagine him listening to this and he goes, he's caught me.
Honey, I'm just going to go out and buy some cigarettes.
All right.
I just like how there's no topic off limits for Mike. But anyway, so the alarm goes off, gets triggered, that the Ferals have been caught trying to break and enter into Robbie's and Lenny's place to try to steal their presents. I don't know. Is it that common that if you buy presents for other people,
mm-hmm.
that you put it under your own tree? I guess that is quite common, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Swinny, in this scene, what did we learn about Robbie? A fact about her.
That she...
I'll expand where she may or not have come from.
Mm. Oh, that's actually... I did not take note of that. I took note of her referring to our family when she's talking about Lenny.
Okay, I picked up on that as well. I noticed there's two things here. The first is that Robbie is from the country.
Mm.
She's a country girl. That's the first that I've heard of that. It's an interesting factoid for me. But I agree.
Yeah, but in Australia... You just have to travel 20 kilometres outside of a city and you're in the country, so...
Yeah, but when you have 80% of people living in the city, it's, you know, it's a more distinct characteristic about someone.
Good point. Okay. I've got no counter.
I agree that the more interesting part of this, because it was a two-pronger for me, that she's from the country and that she referred to it as our presence.
Hmm.
Like, i.e. Robbie and Lenny are from the same family or something. Now, can I just ask, is that a possibility that they're cousins or something?
Well, the thing is, I thought this is
not
weird.
Not brother and sister, you idiot.
I thought that this was a bit weird, and I thought that they were planning to go on the trip, you know, we get into this soon.
Yeah.
And then Robbie tries to go by herself and leave Lenny behind. So I was like, that's weird. But
I thought about that. So I spent too much time thinking about this. I was thinking... The hypothesis is Lenny is second cousins with Robbie.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't find necessarily any evidence against or for it, apart from the fact that she did say our family. No, she said our family. It's a hypothesis. You know what a hypothesis is?
But then when she leaves, she goes, I got to see my family. So it's confusing.
Yeah, true.
All right. And it's detective work is...
When she had her Aunt Mavis and her Uncle... Josiah, there was no reference to Lenny at all being related to them either. So.
That's true. That's a good point. Mm. Okay. I'll say that's debunked. I think that was just loose lips. So we have the Ferals and they're whinging about the fact that they're not getting any presents and that everyone in the world has presents apart from the Ferals, obviously.
Of course.
Which, I don't know. That struck me as like how insular is our viewpoint on the world where we're like, oh, we're the only people that get, like, everyone else gets presents apart from us. Like, firstly, you know, Muslim nations don't celebrate Christmas. Most of Asia doesn't celebrate Christmas in the way we do. There's very few people that actually celebrate Christmas. It's a minority, not the majority.
Yeah, but anyway, it's like that with people, isn't it? We always feel like other people have more than we do.
Well, that wasn't really the point of what I was trying to say there. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I'm still trying to figure out what insular means.
It means you're like on an island. Yeah, you're remote.
It's a viewpoint that is not expanded.
I know what it means. It was a joke. Move on. It was just meant to be a laugh.
Wow.
Of course I know what that word means.
Well, I don't know.
I can't say
purview and all this other stuff.
Anyway, I don't know that you don't know that I know.
But I do know.
Well, this is getting Donald Rumsfeld.
Did you guys see the digital anti-present theft device? No.
No.
Okay.
There was an alarm. Yeah, there was an alarm.
Yeah, it was an alarm. The digital anti-present theft device.
They didn't call it that, did they?
No, but that's what it was.
Okay. Okay, well...
You're projecting your wishes onto your notes, I think.
I think so as well. So the Ferals are dejected, going back to the shed, and Mixie spots Santa Claus. And the one thing that I did see in this scene is when Moddy refers to Princess Di. Did you pick up on that, Swinny?
Yeah. And she's... Mixie's like, oh, it's Santa. She's like, oh, yeah, and I'm Princess Di. It's like, oh, not again, really.
I know. It's so uncomfortable. It's interesting, because I guess it's because of the tragic circumstances, but it hasn't... You know how, like, famous people, when they die, people just naturally think they're alive? Like, 10, 20 years later, they're like, nah, they didn't really die. They're actually alive. Exactly. Elvis. People say this, actually, I've started saying this. I've heard people say this about Michael Jackson. Like, very famous people, right?
I've actually watched some, like, crazy... No, sorry, I haven't watched the whole thing. Apparently, there's, like, a multi-part web series that looks into this controversy that Michael Jackson's still alive.
Oh.
Yeah, but Princess Di, have you ever... Because I'd say she's as famous as those people in the echelon in, like, UK, Australian culture. She, like, I've never heard anyone say, oh, no, Princess Di's still alive. She's just trying to get away from, you know, Charles or whatever, or the yeah. royals who were trying to kill her.
But I think the difference is...
Yeah. Have you heard anyone say that?
I think it's because also she wasn't as eccentric as your Elvis or your... True. Obviously,
well, Michael she's Jackson. Pretty eccentric.
Compared to Michael Jackson, yeah, and you think Elvis,
the followers would still be able to.
She was as eccentric as Elvis, I'd say.
Oh,
not Elvis, Jackson. Elvis not as eccentric. Pretty eccentric.
Yeah, way more than her. And okay. She had a big enough following to have enough, you know, nutcases to believe stuff like that. So,
yeah, yeah. So anyway,
but I guess when your name is Princess Di, you kind of you die and you stay dead.
You are on fire. Wow. Okay.
No, I never made that connection before. Okay.
I have to say, no, I did actually, but I never said it. I'll bet on, you know, matches after coaches die, but I won't sink that low.
Oh, okay, anyway. Right.
So we see Santa in his full form in this episode early on.
His final form?
I don't know. His full form, not his final form.
That's, this isn't even Santa my final Saiyan. Form.
Super Santa Saiyan. Anyway, this is going to sound so dumb. I thought it was actually Santa.
What?
Like, when I was watching it, I was thinking, in the reality of the show, it's Santa. It is actually right. Santa.
After the rock monster turned out to be an actual kind of rock alien monster, this show's open
it's
for
probably,
anything.
Yeah. You know what it's I thought, though? I thought it was... What? The whole plot line was going to be different. I thought it was a thief that was scoping out the place under the guise of being Santa. And he was going to steal all the presents, and that was the plot line. They had to, like, find where the presents went.
I just want to get this idea in my head. So, you think it's a thief?
Yes.
He breaks into the house. So, yeah. What are the people going to do when they wake up and he's grabbing their stuff and he's dressed in a Santa suit?
Well, nothing. He's just going to pretend
just Santa,
that he's...
I'll just let him go.
Well, he's going to be pretending that he's putting the presents back, not taking them. So, it's a pretty good,
yeah, but,
good guys, right?
But we're all clear that adults know that there's not Santa, so they know it's a strange weirdo in a Santa outfit stealing stuff, right?
This is an alternate Ferrell's reality.
At best.
So it's, well, we're adults, it's plausible. Don't know who you've Santa's got talking wrong.
An alternate Ferrell's reality? What, to the normal Ferrell's reality? Is this like Sliders?
Yeah, exactly. Now, that would be cool. Sliders plus Ferrell's. That's a mashup we want to see. Anyway, I do like the little line that Motti says about, oh, he's just early, he's just checking out the joint. I don't know, I just thought it was funny.
Well, that's what triggered my thoughts, thinking that it could be someone that was scoping out the place.
That's what triggered my thoughts, thinking about
it. Yep.
Anyway, you're just on fire tonight, interrupting like crazy.
Do we need trigger warnings for this episode?
We do need trigger warnings.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to have like a interruption quota from Mike, but... So we have Raddus, who is just telling everyone that, you know, they're not going to get any presents because they've all been bad and you need to be a goody-goody suck for Santa to give you any presents. So, I don't know, did you guys spot anything in this scene? I thought, like, all this kind of, like, start was a bit boring and not much was happening for me.
Mm.
Mike?
The only note I had was, do we know when this episode aired?
No.
In July, I checked it.
Oh, what?
So it was in July. It did. Now, I know that things don't always work out, but why would you make a Christmas episode when it's not near Christmas?
Because it's Christmas in July?
Well, that's all I was going to say, but I don't think Christmas in July was a thing in the early 90s.
No, it wasn't, thank God, and it should never be a thing. but, every show needs...
Hang on.
Well, every show needs to have a Christmas episode in the can so that they can show it around Christmas time.
Yeah, that's true,
What? So. Hang on. Christmas in July actually makes more sense to me than Christmas in the middle of summer in 40-degree heat.
Okay, why?
Well, as someone who comes from the Northern Hemisphere, back in Mother Russia... So when you get used to that, you know, you get used to the winter time, you get used to the snow, and that's where Santa comes from. It comes from the snow, from the North Pole, right?
So then, you're saying that the cold weather is more important than it being placed at the end of the year?
Correct.
It's about
the atmosphere of winter time.
Given that it's Christmas, there's an actual day that it's meant to signify something.
Yeah, but I'm refusing to mention that part of it.
I don't want to go into the history of the fact that where Jesus was born. I don't think
let's not open up this discussion.
Yeah, let's not go down there.
The current present version of Santa that originated in the Northern Hemisphere during snowy winter conditions doesn't make any sense to me.
Which
in
form?
The South.
Which form?
Like the current one that we celebrate as the whole idea of Santa being... I mean, does it make sense to you that Santa rocks up
like
fully
Super
dressed
Santa
in this...
Is it Super Santa 2? Or is it Super Santa 4 when he's got the yellow hair?
No. This is the one where he shaved
over
it all
9,000 Santas! Anyway. All right, so you've identified nothing there, Mike.
Other than it still makes no sense to me. Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay, good. So then we open up to... So Robbie and Lenny are trying to go to their family's place. Their family, individual families, whatever it works out to be. And we see the shot open up on a paper, a newspaper. And it's got the biggest writing I've ever seen saying strike, which I really liked. It didn't even seem like there was an article. It was just like the whole paper said the word strike. Do you remember it like that, Swinny? Or do you remember it? I'm not sure.
Considering the audio, the video quality is so poor in these versions that we're watching, I'm really happy that they decided to use the big text on the newspaper.
But it just looked like the whole newspaper just says strike without any photos or anything.
That's
how I remembered it.
Yeah, I think a strike that would shut off all transport, including planes, trains.
Wow. Hold on. In this part of the reality, the strike only shut down the trains and buses. The planes come later.
We know where it's going, though, but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, clearly there was no writing. They couldn't tell them the details. The planes probably were cancelled. There was
no
text.
No, because they had the awesome pun. Did you guys hear the pun? The subtle pun that they worked in?
What was the pun?
When they're talking about... Yeah. They said how Lenny was explaining that, you know, the buses and rail have shut down. Oh, talks went off the rails.
Yeah. They did a couple of them,
actually.
Oh, you
didn't notice
that? I can't remember the
rest
of them, though.
Okay, jeez, that's terrible. I didn't pick up on any of the others, and I was on alert. this is crazy. Like, the buses and trains aren't working over Christmas. That's just never going to happen. Even in Australia, where we love to strike. And I did like the comment about how they're saying flying is too expensive. Because I don't know if you remember, like, if you took a plane ride 20 years ago in Australia, it was so expensive. It was crazily expensive.
Mm.
And these days, it's, like, not so bad.
I feel like it got cheap, and then it went back up. Didn't it?
Yeah, that's true. But it got ridiculously cheap. Like, you couldn't even sustain it.
It was cheaper than catching
a train,
I think.
So, like, the guys are now trying to figure out options, and Joe walks into the picture... Which I think he looks so preppy in this episode. He looks ridiculously preppy. I don't know. Did you guys pick
up on
that?
He busts in. The first thing he does is fixes his hair in the mirror.
Yeah, it's awesome. And now, did we know that Joe had a car?
No. My note was Joe has a car?
I wrote this down. I'm like,
it's not really introduced, is it?
Joe has a car, comma, did we know this? Because I didn't remember that.
You can tell we have watched too many episodes of The Ferals when that is a note. Joe has a car? Oh, my God.
Did we know this? No, but I just think, like, it changes so many things that he could do or that that's all these episodes in the past. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys a test.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with Swinny. There was three features of his car. Three specifically worded features about his car. So, Swinny, what can you name one?
Oh, it was something like the reverse chrome handle.
Oh, beautiful. That's one. So, you're winning so far. Oh. There's only three, so there's two left. And
Mike's got no chance.
An imported motor?
Oh, he's got it. There's one thing left. One thing left.
Oh,
so you have to say it's Winnie or else...
I have no idea.
I didn't know how he phrased it, but it's his black... I couldn't figure out what the word was. Leather seats or something? Black fake leather seats or something? I couldn't actually...
Oh, pretty
wait,
close.
Black,
it was
black
fake
mink.
Something.
Black mink.
Combine what you guys are saying.
fake black mink seats.
Mink skin seats or
yes. Yeah, it's black fake mink steering okay. cover.
I guess it's a steering cover. That's right. Oh, the steering cover.
Oh, that's pretty good. Considering, yeah. I don't know about you, Mike, but I had no notes on that.
I had no notes. I just remembered the imported motor.
Mike's the winner. Mike's the winner. See, in the surprise of victory, I must admit.
I reckon the last one was a draw.
I remember the mink.
No. But you guys both bombed out. But Mike did get the comeback of the
bombed
important
out. Okay. Come on. I thought that was a pretty good effort.
Right now in life, I'll take any win I can get.
Well, let's be real. Mike only watched this like 20 minutes ago. So.
Yeah. In fast forward, two times speed.
I was going to say 5 minutes into this episode recording. That's when he started the episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's watching
he's
actually, it as he's talking.
He's watching
that's
it right now, pausing it.
I did.
Every exactly. Talk.
In one ear.
I was too busy listening the guys to Bottle Bite all night.
The guys are trying to... Well, I'm just like thrown off now. So the guys are sucking up to Joe, trying to borrow his car, and he refuses. But he does invite him to his party. And now, like, I think that's fair enough that he's refusing. I to be honest, I would refuse you guys from taking my car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, especially Swinney, he's a terrible driver.
He's a horrible driver.
I know. I refuse to lend my car to myself.
I know.
Exactly. Now, did you guys catch what Joe was singing as he was going bursting into the shed? He was singing a Christmas carol.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was a carol.
Neither. Yeah.
It was like la 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 la, but it was like insanely loud and crazy, right?
Yeah, he just busts the door in and starts going la la la.
Yeah. It was like mental. Clear. Oh shit, sorry guys. I just
a little audio accident.
Premature clicking.
No, because I was just trying to line something up. I forgot to do it beforehand.
Was it the Darren quote?
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad someone else picked up on it. He goes in and annoys all the ferals and wakes them up. Can you try to should I throw it to Mike or you, Swinney? I feel like I should throw it to you because Mike probably doesn't know what we're talking about.
Well, I watched this episode yesterday, so hopefully you'd expect Mike to be able to remember it better. But didn't Darren go something like,
"Get right, and you out- ha- you gotta do it. Try to do it as closely as possible to
no,
what he does."
No, I'm not. I've stated in the past that. When I can't do an impression, like unlike Mike Tyson impression.
You don't even try.
Hey, at least I try.
But the point is, I have enough dignity to know when I can't do something, I won't do it.
Hey, I'm perfectly aware I can't do pretty
all
much
right, so
anything.
Try
okay, Mike, try.
I pretty much can't do anything.
Mike, can you say, get out of my space... in your Mike Tyson voice.
Yeah, get out of my space.
That's the worst impression.
I don't know. I can't do Mike Tyson. I can't do anyone.
So, Mike, do you remember how Darren says, get out of my space in this episode? When Joe is interrupting him and annoying him?
Yeah, it's like really deep and like, get out of my space.
Oh, that's pretty good. Let me play it.
Rush you. Get out of my space.
Get out of my space.
Hey, you got pretty
that.
Good.
That was pretty good. That was
now,
pretty
can
good.
You say in your faux Romanian Russian accent?
Well, yes. Oh, get out of my space.
I just like how long it took. Nah.
He's like, yes.
Yes.
I had to translate in my head.
I feel like I'm watching like a Russian version of Fawlty Towers or something. Yes, Miguel. Yes. Anyway, so Joe invites them all to the Christmas dinner. I can't remember why he did that. Like, it's because... Okay, you remember why he invited them to the dinner, Mike? This is like a test.
Because he didn't want to be lonely?
It is. We're not used to this.
I'm trying to be more active. It's because he knew they were
getting
interrupted.
Was it helicopter?
Anyway, so... It makes a lot of sense. He knew that they were going to barge in anyway, as we see later in the episode, which is 100% true. He invited them anyway. And he said that there'll be turkey pudding and bones / the works. I thought that was really weird, but anyway.
What bones? For, like, Darren and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Ferals, again, are obsessed about getting presents, which they don't get. Was there anything else in this scene that you guys noticed?
No.
Sorry, you keep asking us that, like, you're trying to find out if there was actually anything interesting to talk about, because there was not.
I know. I feel like, I don't know, should I just speed it up in this episode? To be honest, I wrote so many notes, and then I thought, not much happened in this episode. So the next scene is my favorite episode, just because, only solely because of the start of it.
Your favorite
which
episode?
Opens up, no, favorite scene of this episode.
Okay.
Right, I'm pretty sure
checking.
That's what I said.
Just checking.
Well, we got this recorded. I'll go back and not check it. So it opens up to Santa food.
That was good.
Which,
that was good.
I love. Yeah. Proven over many years, guaranteed to make the big man with the beard happy. I really like that. That made me laugh. I love the idea that there's like someone out there who thought, oh, okay, I want to make a box of Santa food, and that's like going to be the sort of crutch of this plot. So, how violent is this plan of Raddus that he's wanting to lure Santa, whack him, and then kidnap him, which they proceed to do, and they don't realize it's actually Joe in the Santa suit?
Pretty psycho.
It's very violent. Hmm. Very violent.
So
I got nothing.
So they smash the camera, the video camera that Joe's carrying. So he's pretending to be, and this is like the most wasted opportunity ever. Joe is, what do they call it? Shopping center Santa.
Yep.
He's like acting that he's a Santa.
Or a shopping plaza Santa, because he's doing
shopping
plazas.
Ah, plaza. There you go.
Do they call some shopping centers plazas in other parts of the world?
They call them malls.
Just in Australia. Yeah, I know you've got malls, but I lived in the UK for a few years, and I never remember them calling anything plazas over there.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
It's weird.
I've never heard plaza, apart from, like, not in the shopping context. I've heard of plaza, like, in Europe and stuff, but not in a shopping context.
Hmm.
But even here, we mostly call them shopping centres, don't we?
You know what? I don't think... So I live in New South Wales now. I don't think I've heard of any of them called plaza.
Yeah.
So is this just a Victorian thing even?
I don't remember that either when I lived there.
There are some.
I remember Rockdale Plaza.
Oh, yeah, because you lived all the way up north.
Rockdale South. All the way down south.
Is it?
Yes.
Is that where Rockdale is?
Yeah.
Is that where
it's
you live?
It's on the way to Cronulla. I'm not saying I lived there. I'm saying that's where Rockdale is.
Oh, I thought you were talking about where you lived.
Well, maybe I did live there. Who knows?
Okay, anyway.
Next
so
week
things.
On the Shopping Centre Podcast, episode 16.
Well, you did ask about the plaza thing, so it's your fault.
Yeah, your fault.
We're just trying to invest.
It is your fault. Stop trying to sidetrack this podcast.
So two things in this episode that I'm annoyed about. One is that Joe is a plaza Santa, and it's just so crap, like, I thought there would be heaps of funny things coming from this. There wasn't.
Oh, I wish they actually did show the scene of him being the Santa in the plaza.
It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
Oh, sort of
and then, missed opportunity.
And then the other
like
thing
me and Susan.
Is that they smashed the video camera, and he says, oh, you know, I'm meant to make a fairy tale video, and now I'm screwed. So as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, they're going to make a video. Like, this is going to be awesome. Because anytime they've had to make a video or do something that involves video and puns and stuff like that, it's quite funny in this show. I was very disappointed by that as well. So, very annoyed in this episode.
I didn't mind the actual
we'll
video, though. Sorry.
We'll get to it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that pretty much wraps up that bit.
There is one part if you're going to ask, was there anything you want to talk about? Yeah, just the part where they go, where's the presents, fatso? The insults were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that, yeah. Where's the presents? So, yeah, they've gone crazy at him.
They do, full on crazy.
It's so violent. Yeah, they think it's Santa.
I like so that you've got Raddus and Modigliana obviously attacking, like, where's the presents, blah, blah, blah. And Mixie goes, would you like a glass of water, Santa?
Yeah, that's awesome. But even Darren is really aggressive in this episode.
Totally out of character, yeah.
I know, I haven't noticed
but
him later.
They do address that, though. He's like, oh, that sounded good, didn't it? So it's not that he just does it and they leave it. They kind
of
address
Are you saying it's character development? Are you saying there's an arc here?
No, it's not a character development. It shows that he's trying, like, he's actually trying to be assertive. And then he's like, oh, that sounded good, didn't it?
Because he watched it on TV, well, didn't he?
He watched it on American television. That's what he said. I saw some American kids saying this on TV, something like that. I thought he was going to talk about Jerry Springer. Then I thought, maybe Jerry Springer was actually after the show.
I think it was.
God, so old.
Yep.
Was it
anyway,
after?
Moving on. So, then we see Robbie about to smash her piggy bank. By the way, a piggy bank, you don't need to smash it. Who smashes piggy banks? They've always got the little plug at the bottom that you can just take the coins out.
Some do not. I've had a piggy bank in the past that didn't have that. Yeah, it was one of the ceramic ones, and you had to smash it.
Not all of them I think they do them now because I think that there were worries that kids could hurt themselves trying to break them. Mm-hmm. But
teaches them to save more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No.
We wear protective goggles and condoms.
My God, what? The tension.
Jesus Christ. You are talking about kids, aren't you? Anyway, move on. Jesus.
Okay, the tension of Robbie going to hit the piggy bank and then stopping. And then again and again, I'm like, I'll just hit the goddamn piggy bank.
I know. It was so annoying. I actually started to think she wasn't going to smash. I thought she wasn't going to smash it. And if she didn't smash it, I was going to go, I'm going to stop this episode right now. We're like 9 minutes in and nothing good has happened so far. Apart from the Joe bit where, you know, they're like, give us the presents, fatso. That was pretty funny. But
so Robbie grabs the cash and then leaves Lenny alone.
Yep.
And all I could think of, and this is some inspiration from Mike, this one, is Lenny turning around and just spelting out, all by myself, or something like that.
I'm gonna be... Yeah. I just thought it was so awkward when she smashes it. She doesn't clean up or anything. She just puts the hammer down, grabs the cash, and just goes. She doesn't really count it. She's see ya.
She knows she's got a lap dog to clean up after her, so...
Yeah, true.
Lenny the lapdog.
Lenny Leonard the lapdog. Anyway, so what happens next? So Ferals are beating up Raddus because of his plan. Why were they beating up Raddus again? It's because he's trying... This is so crap, this episode.
But I like... Darren's actually punching Raddus.
Yeah, I know. I wrote this. Darren is acting super aggressive in this episode.
And he punches the wall. He's like, ow.
Oh, and also they're very this is so violent, this episode, really. Mixie's like, you're going to get some lumps this time, Raddus. I was like, lumps? This is a kid's show. Shouldn't we talk? They talk like mafia enforcers. It's crazy. You guys know what lumps are, right?
Lumps?
Yeah. Yeah.
In relation to
mafia hitmen. You're going to get some lumps,
Mike.
Say to you, Mike... Yeah. You're going to get some lumps, mate.
Yes.
What do you think that means?
I think that if I go out and kill someone, it increases the size of my balls.
What?
Is that correct?
If you punch people too much, you're going to get bruised knuckles? Is that what it is or something? Or like bruised
hand? You're going to get like bruises, like big bruises, big lumps on your body.
I've never heard that term in my life, man.
Really?
Have I?
We grew up in, like, Sunshine, and you never heard of lumps.
Thug.
Oh, yeah,
I was the one getting bashed up.
Sorry, I was a bit distracted all those years when I was in, like, the mafia in
the Cribs.
In, western suburbs.
True. The Cribs and the Bloods. So this is where Raddus hatches his plan to shoot his own video to, like, help Joe and so they can get re-invited to Christmas. Now, I wrote here, this could be good. And then later I wrote, no, it wasn't. Not to ruin it, but that was, you know, my quick thoughts on it. One thing that did make me, because I was already a bit annoyed with this episode, I was like seriously fearing that the continuity expert is like going to ruin this episode by the reference that Moddy made. Now, I'm going to play this just quickly. I swear, like, if this kept on going this episode, I might have just like stopped it and just said, nah, let's like move on from this episode. So I'm going to play this now.
For a music clip, I could sing. Oh, I'm just a poor muggy.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Mate, if that kept on going on, that singing, I was just going to lose the plot at this stage. She did have the right hat. So the continuity expert is getting paid.
It was good.
I like how they talk about I guess who can play what part in the video. And that Moddy, I forget who she says it to. She's like, you can play the pumpkin.
What? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That's actually a good joke.
Because I think they were talking about, doesn't Cinderella arrive in like a big pumpkin?
Yes.
Like a pumpkin carriage or something.
Yeah.
So,
because it's like everything's getting transformed. So, yeah, the plan is Radis wants to create a fairy tale movie and it's Cinderella.
Also known as Cinder.
Yeah, I liked how Moddy called it Cinders. It's very awesome. It's like insanely ossification of the story.
They remind me of the, there's a Killer Instinct character named Cinder. So I thought it was cool.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. So Darren is Prince Charming, which is a bit weird. Keith. Who was Keith originally? Because he was someone and then he got booted out and he became the cameraman.
I have a feeling he was probably meant to be Prince Charming, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah, I think you're right. And Kylie and Mixie play the ugly sisters of Cinders. And, the spin on it that instead of her being... I don't know, what is Cinderella in the story? She's just a girl, she doesn't have an occupation.
What, she's like a maid. She's a house. Really. She just cleans the house, yeah.
But it's her own house, though.
Correct.
Yeah, she's the mistreated younger sister of...
But she doesn't have an occupation, though.
No.
Yeah, yeah. But I do like this, how they made it.
I don't think any Disney princess has an occupation.
Nope.
Oh, controversial.
Ooh.
Any ones from the 2000s and before, so...
Just trying to think.
And wasn't Pocahontas
Belle
like
a princess?
Pocahontas. No, I was going to say Pocahontas. Wasn't Pocahontas like 13?
Can you say Pocahontas again?
Pocahontas. 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 Oh my god! I don't know how you pronounce it.
Okay. Oh god. I'm going to challenge you, Swinny. Is Belle is a princess, a Disney princess?
Yes.
Yeah, isn't she? She's like a villager, isn't she? She wasn't actually.
She worked in the library or something, didn't she? Or she worked in the shop.
I don't know. I've never. You're talking Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
Beauty and the Beast, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. I think I've watched that once as a kid, and I didn't like it, so I never watched it.
Really? Oh wow! I think that's their best movie of that age.
Ariel was the best. Golden
age. Really? Better than Aladdin?
No. Aladdin is close second. And then, like, maybe Lion King third. I like how good this Ferrell's episode
the
is
best.
That we're talking about.
Under the sea.
Look, we're talking about Cinderella. I think it's a fair call with he's talking about Disney princesses.
I guess so.
Also, I had a crush on Ariel.
I do like the spin on it. I do like the spin on it that Cinderella is a mechanic.
That's
which is like rough around the edges. That was clever. It didn't really enjoy it or anything, but it was good. Anyway, so they record this and then we see the scene.
Radis as a director.
The beret
and the glasses
seems kind of familiar. I wonder if we'll be seeing any Rats directors in the future.
Yeah,
certain kinds of films.
True.
I wonder
true.
Where I've
and
seen
we
that
should
before.
Talk about that. We should talk
we should
about
do a whole
that,
podcast
that
about
week.
That.
We should.
We should talk about it during that podcast about the fact that it's links to this.
For like 2 hours.
I wish.
anyway. So, did you guys like it when Joe watches Radis's masterpiece and then his only real reaction is rubbish.
Yes.
Rubbish.
Love that. Rubbish.
We missed out a few scenes. We missed out the part where Moddy goes, why is Cinder such a wuss?
Because I didn't really write a lot of
I love
down
that part. That was hilarious. I laughed at that. And then she goes, what would you
really?
Do if a couple of nerds gave you a hard time? I thought that part was
okay,
brilliant.
I didn't find it that funny.
I've kind of given up at this point.
I know. That bit was really long. That was, like, really long, man.
I thought...
Like, I don't... Well, good. It probably wasn't that long, but it was, like, 4 minutes of just boringness for me.
Okay.
I felt like it could have been really funny, but it was rubbish, like Joe said.
My favourite part was Keith at the start, though. He's like, I look like a dill.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Kylie rocks up, you look like a dill.
I knew it!
I told ya!
I knew it! Yeah, I wrote that down. You look like a big deal. I know it! But that's the best bit. That's like, it goes downhill from there. That's horrible.
I know.
Yeah, anyway. So, Joe hated it, so he doesn't want to invite them to the party anymore. They're officially out. And then Radish hatches another scheme.
And he says, when the going gets tough, we'll settle for second best.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to use that from now on.
And I thought about that, and I'm like, that's pretty true. Like, in life, what do you think's more true? When the going gets tough, the tough get going? Or when the going gets tough, you settle for second best?
Well, I think they're both true.
Which one do you think? No, but which one do you think most people adhere to?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think most people the latter, yeah.
I prefer when the going gets tough, life gives you a lemon.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Hey, at least I got some food, right?
So, that's true. Not like the spam that Robbie and Lenny needed.
Oh,
the
spam,
Christmas.
Yes.
Segway.
Oh, yeah.
Segway.
Spam.
We should just have like a spam alert, a segue alert whenever something actually does segue properly.
We need to find a sound of like a recording of an actual like segue, like vehicle scooter thingy, and play that. Like
you know, I've been on one of those segways, and they're freaking awesome, man.
Tell you that I was driving home, and just around the corner from my place, I saw a person wearing like an American shirt.
Okay.
Not a t-shirt, a shirt.
What do you mean an American shirt? What does that mean?
No, like an American flag shirt.
Oh, really?
Riding a Segway on the road.
Okay.
Around the corner from my house, a blue Segway.
And this was shortly after you did it.
And when you...
It's a couple of drugs in the car, or...
I know, that's what I was going to say. When he came down from the high, what else
was he still there?
I actually drove around the block and went back to try to get a photo because I swear that the Americans believe me.
Get out of my country.
You take a photo.
Now...
I want photos. I'll get GTFO.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain that Segways aren't that common in America either, but...
No.
I don't think they're very... I think they're even way less common.
And they're way less common in what is effectively the hood of Melbourne, where you live.
unless you're, you know, in America, near a banana stand in Orange County, I don't think that you're going to be seeing many Segways. But they're real... Like, have you guys ridden on one? Or I don't
G-Man,
know what
good
you
job
call
with that joke.
There's money in the banana stand, Michael.
I knew I should never have sold those animation rights. That might be my favorite part of the whole series. Anyway, I'm kind of annoyed that we had the best segue ever, and then we just went sidetracked.
That was literally a good segue.
It was a segue to segue.
It became a segue to a segue. Perfect segue, which became a segue to a segue. Anyway.
Yo, dog, I heard you like segues.
So a segue to the segue, and segue to the segue.
Segueception.
So, yeah, and Robbie and Lenny are presented with the whole second best thing of, should we eat spam or should we, you know, go to Joe's party? And they deliberated and went to Joe's party. The Ferals didn't want to, they rejected their spam offer as well. And I don't know, did you guys notice anything else?
Which is surprising that the Ferals actually...
Yeah.
I thought they would have been right up their alley.
What, spam?
Spam's delicious.
Yeah.
You know what, like, can I say that?
Mm.
Spam, I feel like it's getting a bad name in this episode. Now, spam for a Christmas dinner is like not that great, but I like spam.
Great.
I like
spam's
spam as
good,
well, especially spam
but
light.
But probably not something you'd have for
spam light. No, no,
no, no, no. I actually it's don't like normal spam. I actually prefer spam.
Why?
I just prefer the taste of it. I guess to be honest, it's probably a little sweeter, so they offset the, I guess, like the fat content
sugar.
Sweet by sweetening
right,
a little.
Okay.
Well, sure.
They do that for a lot of
sugar.
Light foods. They sweeten
they sugar
them so that they taste better. But I actually prefer the taste. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway. It's the same as me and low-fat milk. I'm so used to it now that full cream milk is just too, I don't know, too rich, too fatty.
Have you ever had real full cream milk?
Hey, I explained to you before. Back in Mother Russia, I used to milk the cow. I used to suck a cow titties, okay? Straight milk, fresh, into my mouth.
Is that...
I like how multiple times I've said to you, it's teats, not tits.
So whatever.
Girls don't have tits, they have teats.
Teats.
And you'll never learn.
Why will you make fun of my anyway. Speech impediment?
Okay.
Wait, so, no. Full cream milk. Does that mean in World War II, America should have... All right, let's go.
Exactly. So, wait, Joe...
Hang on. You asked whether there was something we missed. Yes, there is one thing we missed. Given that she just...
Of note.
It's part of this. Given that she broke the piggy bank and had all that money, but couldn't use the money to go anywhere, why didn't they use that money to buy food?
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I didn't even make it clear that the planes aren't flying either, which is a bizarre strike. So, yeah. Although she didn't have that much cash, surely. How the hell could she have bought a plane ticket at the last minute? Anyway. So, we see that Joe has got this massive Christmas sign, Joe's Cool Christmas, without the possessive apostrophe.
No. Joe's Cool Xmas.
Oh, true.
Yes.
Oh, I've written it down exactly with my little sick comment, you know, thinking of it. And yeah, you're right. Xmas. You know, I must admit, whenever I see Xmas, I never say Xmas. I always say Christmas. But I should say Xmas.
Hey, what does sick stand for? What does the acronym
But you're right.
Stand
there
for?
Was no...
Sorry.
What?
It's
sick. What does it stand for?
It actually... It stands for... No, it stands for... X is representative.
No, he said what does sick stand for?
Yeah, S-I-C.
Oh, sick. Oh, sorry.
I thought same. I thought he was going to ask about the X as well.
Yeah, that's what
I'm assuming. It's X-Men Christmas.
X-Men Christmas.
X-Men, yeah, exactly. Xavier Mus. Anyway.
No, what's a sick? What does sick stand for? Give us a lesson in literature.
I've never
known. Swinney's the teacher?
No. Who knows?
Okay.
I think I spelled Cinderella incorrectly in this document, but anyway, consistently incorrect. Anyway, I'm gonna read you, say, far out, I'm gonna say Joe's, Christmas rhyme.
Before you say it, could you understand all of it?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. Cool.
So I'm gonna say it. And then, can I ask you guys what wouldn't fly today? So it's jingle bells, radish smells, Moddy laid an egg, Mixie chucked a skitsy when Darren bit her leg. Right?
Okay, now it's obvious what's not going to fly today is.
Okay, damn, I was going to ask Mike because he would not.
I was going to say skits as well.
Okay.
But is that because it's another word
I couldn't
for
understand
retarded?
what it said Mixie chucked her, and I swear I kept listening back to it. I couldn't understand it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you know what? There was a bit in this episode where I thought an F-bomb was dropped. And I listened to it a couple of times and, I'm still kind of going, oh, and then I realized what it was actually, that it was like something else. I can't believe I didn't write down what time period it was. It was something that Kylie said. But, anyway,
but yeah, Skitsy obviously schizophrenia and everything.
Yeah, it's like Mixie chucked a Skitsy when Darren bit her leg. That's what he's saying. But yeah, I know, like that would not fly these days, right?
But you can't even say anything. You can't say that apparently the term retarded even in its legitimate use, not even when referring to someone with a disability. Like when something No, the term retarded is a legitimate actual word.
It is a legit word, yeah.
That you can use to
you can use
to describe. Yeah, exactly. You can use to describe inanimate objects as well. Retardation and things like that. And the fact that you can't even use that word anymore without people saying that
I retarded the color.
Ridiculous.
At the lights.
Yeah.
Joe gets ditched on again.
Yeah, yeah. And did you like the name that he used?
No. What?
Oh, it was Rupert. He's like, oh, hi, Rupert.
Okay.
Maybe he thought Rupert Murdoch.
Ah.
Who was huge at the time. He was, like, one of the most influential people in Australia at that time.
Could be. Or could be a coincidence.
No, I just like that, again, I just thought he was going to bust out all by myself again. Because, to me, he turned into...
myself.
He turned into a forever alone
and
Joe.
Sue.
He is becoming that. And I didn't note the name of the person, Mandy... whose party everyone attended to instead of Joe's. Damn you, Mandy.
Goddamn Mandy.
Joe's a cool guy.
hate Mandy so much.
I like the balloon deflates next to him when he finds out.
Yes. It's so sad, but that was probably the best part of this whole episode.
Wow.
The very end was probably the best.
Oh, maybe I don't remember it. Okay. So, again, the episodes tend to do this now, where they just have these mega scenes, mega acts at the end to wrap it all up. So, Joe's got his party. Do you want to set the scene up, Swinny?
God, I hate this so much that I've just forgot most of it. Basically, Lenny and Robbie show up, and then they're all eating, and Keith and Kylie there as well.
And by the way, when did he invite Keith and Kylie? Like, that's not in the episode.
No, they didn't show it.
And he doesn't even like them. He said, I never cared for Keith in the other episode, remember?
Yeah, but he knew that just interrupt anyway, like the Ferals, so he just...
True. On a scale of liking someone...
Are you moving your microphone?
No, I know. You know that we picked that up, right?
Yeah, no, it's all right. It came... The headphones came loose by mistake. I was tugging too hard.
Sorry, the headphones came. That reminds me of the April Fool's prank with the shaving cream.
All right, go on, Mike.
So, yes, headphones came. I was tugging them too hard.
I like how you sound annoyed that we were interrupting.
No, I wasn't. I was trying to fix them up. I was trying to, like, put them back in.
Okay.
Yeah, fit in that hole. Oh, yeah, that's it. Okay.
God.
So, what was I saying?
I know that you're
on a scale of liking someone, being neutral and hating them, if you had to invite someone to a party, you would probably invite the people you like and maybe the neutral people. Currently, the Ferals... he hates because of what they did to the camera. So I suppose inviting the neutral people makes sense.
Okay, that was an interesting explanation. In other unnecessary explanations.
I was expecting something more from that. Sorry.
Sorry, that was terrible. So they gloss over the fact that Joe got sacked from his Santa job. I feel like this episode... They've highlighted the bits that are so boring and not shown any parts, even though they've gone to the effort of getting the Santa suit, of not showing him in the Santa suit often enough. Did you feel the same, Swinny?
I'll just say, at this part, yeah, I agree, but in this part, after pretty much the Ferals show up anyway, but Joe pretty much takes a back step in this whole scene. You don't really hear from him right until, you know,
it's true.
Right until the end. And it's like,
it's true.
Man, he's the best part of this show. And you've got a big ensemble scene and you don't even utilize Joe. Mm. It's ridiculous.
Well, just like flicking through this episode really quickly, right? Joe's in this episode very... very little amount, right? Moddy dominates this episode. She's often the one talking in the scenes. Robbie and Lenny's storyline's so boring. It's insanely... they can't get a car, a train or a bus or a flight. Okay, wow. This is boring. Like, there's no story to it, right? So Radis and Joe are rarely in the scenes. They're rarely dominating the scenes. And then this is when Robbie's like, oh, you know, I've got to, you know, everyone's got to watch this video. Or like watch TV at a certain period of time. And it's the Ferals Fairy Tales presents Cinderella.
On the funniest home videos.
It's in the Daggers home videos.
Daggers home videos. Now, you guys recognize this guy, didn't you? The host?
No.
Really? This guy is...
Who is it?
Who?
Is
it helicopter?
I didn't know him by name until I looked him up, but I recognize his face from everywhere on Australian TV.
Let me guess. Is it Steel Cut Oats?
No. I'm not going to mention, like, he's practically been in every single major Australian show. It's crazy, but I recognize his face instantly. Who?
And who is it?
Oh, the suspense is killing me.
I said before his name was Richard Carter. Did I not mention that?
No, you didn't say that.
Anyway. All right.
That's all I wanted to know.
Anyway, that's not important. Now, I looked him up on IMDb. I'm not going to do a whole credit sequence on this dude, but okay. He's been in a lot, but he was in what I now call the Holy Quartet. Okay.
Wait, stop. Can we guess what the Holy Quartet is?
Yeah, you'd struggle to get one of them, I reckon.
Okay, but okay. Do you want to go first, Mike, or you want me to go
first? All four of these features, it could be film or show, have been mentioned by us in previous episodes.
Okay. All four of them. Well, can I just say the big Australian, you know, dramas, I guess they are our dramas, what I'm about to say. Practice?
By the way, he's been in that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I've got a specific list of these four shows that we've made specific mention of.
Okay.
So had been in that. No, but we didn't really talk about Water Rat. Like,
Hey
I'm
Dad?
Talking,
hey Dad?
Yes, Hey Dad.
Okay, so that's one. Blue Healers? No.
We didn't really talk about Blue Healers.
We mentioned Blue Healers.
No, but I'm talking about, like, we really talked about these shows.
Mm. Oh, really? Oh, I'm going blank here because you're saying no to everything.
Show/film, so.
Film? What films have we talked about apart from, like, the Lenny one, Lenny Leonard's? I don't know. How about you, Mike? Can you remember any?
What's Lenny Leonard's film?
I can't believe I keep forgetting it. Punisher,
yeah.
Yes, he was in The Punisher as well.
That's awesome. Wow, this is right, now, he's not in Queen of the Damned thing. Is he in Queen of the Damned?
You know what that tells me?
Is he in Queen of the Damned?
No. Oh, okay. Now, I didn't notice that one, I doubt it. With The Punisher, I really want to do a bonus episode on this now. Because Lenny and this dude are both in it.
We just need to, like, expand this to any movies they're in.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so two more.
Oh, jeez. So, wait, are they films or movies? Films or movies?
There's show and one film. By the way, I didn't plan on this being a quiz thing. I was just going to talk about it.
Okay, forget about it. Forget about it. What are the other two?
All right. So, he was in The Great Gatsby, like every Australian person.
I was in it, but not everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was in The Bill.
The Bill? The UK Bill?
Well, it must be, because that's the only Bill there. Unless they did, like, a short-lived Australian version.
I could 100% believe that they did a short-lived Australian version of The Bill, maybe. Given how big The Bill was.
Anyway, I just love that it was in all four of them. But The Punisher, that blew me away when I saw that.
That is cool. I do feel like we need to have a big, like, graph network of all the actors and how they're all connected. That'd be pretty cool. Anyway, should we actually... I'm going to ask a question to you guys. Should we go through... the Feral Fairy Tales Presents Cinderella video? Or should we just say it was crap and move on?
I actually liked it. Oh,
okay.
To me, if it wasn't for this, then this... the score of this episode would have been, like, unprecedented.
Capped out.
If it wasn't for this. Yeah.
Well, okay. So
I'll just mention a couple of things I like.
I did not like it, so I'll just let you take this whole bit.
I'll just mention a couple of things I liked, and then, Mike, you can do the same. Yep. I like that Darren has stage fright as soon as it comes on, and he's just standing there shaking. I liked Radis as the fairy godmother. I actually thought that was really good.
Yeah, I like that.
I liked how Moddy said, forget who it was, maybe to her sisters, you'd be better with a paper bag on your head. And I just thought...
Which made me
bag
think.
Rule. The
yeah,
bag
hey,
rule.
That's what it made me think as well.
That's what she told me one day.
I like how Darren sucker punches. Sorry, she Moddy sucker punches Darren in the face continuously.
Oh, nice.
In the scene.
All the time. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and I like when they announce the winner thing at the end. So, Mike, was there anything in this scene that you liked?
I liked how bad it was. If that makes sense, it was intentionally bad in a good way. Like,
see, I'd argue it was bad, not good.
I thought it was good bad.
Okay.
No, when they announced that the Ferals had won the Daggy's Tome video prize or whatever, they took the winning slip out. Did you guys notice what was on the slip?
No.
It was actually the logo of the Ferals.
Oh, really?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
like
awesome.
That. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Exactly. The Ferals got their own branding. Oh, wait, I didn't see this. I'm just, like, looking through it again.
It's hard to see because of the quality, but it definitely...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's 100%
the logo.
Yeah, you're right. And they win, like, a Christmas hamper or something like that, right?
And then they all proceed to just fight.
I know, And also, like, Robbie's like, oh, I want the lipstick. And then she gets into a brawl with Moni and Mixie over the lipstick.
And I put, and season one ends as it begun with gratuitous violence. Because if you remember, the first thing in the first episode was violence.
Well, I think, like, we forecast that we'd be seeing puppets mate with humans.
Oh, so God, that was disturbing.
The very final scene.
Yes, yes.
And also,
yes.
This is strange, because Joe almost, like, fully, you know, it's like a cliffhanger that he, in the very final scene, he tries to kiss Robbie under mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, surely that's like a complete declaration of his feelings.
Oh, he's into Robbie.
As he closes his eyes. No, but I don't think he's ever declared this to Robbie. He declared it to Lenny, and Lenny to him.
Oh, yeah, true.
But
true.
I don't remember him ever saying it to Robbie. We've learned big facts about Joe in this episode. He's got a car.
Indeed.
And then he's like coming out to Robbie. But yeah, as he closes his eyes to kiss Robbie, Robbie walks away and Moddy kisses Joe. Dum dum dum.
And Joe screams.
Season cliffhanger, yeah, exactly. And we have a Joe laugh and a Joe scream.
That would have ruined my childhood.
That was by far the best part of the episode, and it was in the end up after the credits.
It's a bit that most people wouldn't have watched.
I don't even know if you can you really count that as part of the episode?
Oh, yeah, it's canonical. Counts, yeah.
You
it's
can
canonical.
Okay, all right. Then that was the best part.
Just on that for a second. So you know how I'm obsessed about not ruining things? So I don't watch trailers and I don't like reading any facts about TV shows or movies that are coming out. When I was watching Arrested Development, you know how it says next time on Arrested Development. I never watched
and
that.
I'm a comedian as well. And then tell everyone.
Well, so I'd watched it two times all the way through and still skipped it, even though I knew what happens.
Yep.
And then the third time I started watching Arrested Development again, I started watching it and I'm like, oh my God, this is like new content. I didn't realize it's not related.
And it's some of the best parts
of
the
exactly.
episode as well.
So,
like Tobias listening back to him saying all the all the inappropriate stuff exactly. by accident.
Yeah. Michael always telling him, you got to record yourself. Just, buddy, just record yourself and listen to it. And he does. There's nothing wrong with that.
Can I just say, we didn't even skip a beat there. We went straight from this episode and we're like, thank God it's over. Let's talk about something better.
Exactly. Okay, so should we do... So given that it is a season wrap-up, should we do ratings and then, I guess, talk about the season a little bit?
Yeah, well, let's do the ratings. Now, I actually want to do something special, which will kind of, I guess, double as a recap.
Oh.
Which is hand out some awards.
Okay. Are we doing the ratings first, or are we doing the awards first?
No, we'll do the ratings. So let's get the crappy episode out of the way.
Who wants to be first?
Okay, I'll go second after myself. Six.
Okay. Interesting.
I'll go next.
Okay. Well, this is going to be my lowest rating. I gave it a 1.
Oh, what?
Well, whoa. I honestly don't even think I laughed maybe once, and I like the laugh. That's pretty bad. So yeah.
Okay.
How about you, Swinny?
My rating is a big fat.
By the way, it's IMDb ratings, so it goes from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Okay, I give this episode 1.
Oh,
wow.
Now, I'm just giving you a heads up, a monkey boy.
Yep.
Okay, remember this for when you have to, unfortunately, go back and edit this. This episode was the biggest piece of fucking shit out of the whole season.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So I gave you some warning there. Sorry, future Luke. It felt justified because, oh my God, this was a horrendous episode. If it wasn't for Radis as a fairy godmother, which was only a light chuckle in the ending scene, I would have struggled to even give it a... Well, 1's a minimum. You can't even give it a 0.
Jeez.
So.
1 and exactly. 6.
No, honestly.
I'm way off.
I think I had it like as a 2 for a little while, and then I watched the video part. I was thinking, oh, the video might bump it up to a 4 or a 5, because they're usually pretty good, like when they do the video stuff. It was so bad. It was just so bad, this episode. And it's easily the worst for me.
If it didn't come across like I thought it was a 1 out of 10 in the episode recap, it's because I was trying to make it an interesting episode to talk about things, you know, and not just be negative all the time.
Hey, do you guys reckon you rated it less also because of the fact that it was the last episode and you felt like it should have gone out with more of a bang? Like, if this was in the middle of the season, would you guys have gone, it's like a 3 or 4?
I mean, it might have gotten a 2 if we'd reviewed it in the first half.
Wow,
maybe.
That low. Jeez,
potentially.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, if this was one of the episodes really early on, I would have really... You know how we had that third episode, which was really crap? And we gave it, like, a very low score.
Couch potatoes.
Yeah.
Which Mike liked.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into the awards, I've got a short clip. Was it DWTS, which I think stands for Dancing with the Stars, or maybe something
else. Hey, by the way, how come we didn't get to vote for the awards? Sounds like it was rigged.
No. No.
What?
Okay, let me clarify. The awards are, they're not really awards. It's more what's your favorite
okay,
this,
right,
what's
right.
this. And we will all
talk
about
because I thought you were just going to hand them out.
No. By the way, did you actually
did not think
get
that
the,
at all? Anyway.
Did you guys get the sheet that I gave to you guys?
Of course. I'm always prepared.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Let me just, I was expecting Mike to go.
Go and find it now.
You hear some frenzied double clicking.
Oh god. Quick.
There's crazy. About 5 click. Bonus questions after those that you guys don't know about. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh,
let's roll the clip.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
1 minute.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mike's thinking, what the hell?
Oh, shit.
I know what you're going to do, by the way.
Aliens are coming.
That's awesome.
It was an easy joke.
That's very well timed given the new release of the Disturb album is coming out in the next few weeks.
I just got to say...
Already will be out, actually, by the time this is out, so...
The sound quality coming through from you made it sound like that was running at, like, half speed half the time.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. It sounded weird. I'm like, did I compress this really weirdly? No,
It would just be Skype.
Just Hangouts.
Or just Hangouts, yeah. don't hand away our secret that we use Hangouts.
So before we get into the season recap / awards, do you guys have anything you want to talk about?
No, I think that your recap will cover pretty much anything.
Okay,
that I'm sure will
so can you play us a little intro to the to the awards?
This is Sample City. All right, here's the intro.
Okay, hold on to your stomach. Here we go.
Worse than I thought. God. Anyway. Alright, take it away, Swinney.
Okay. Alright, so our first category of the season recap / awards is our favorite episode of season 1. So I have no specific order of who will tackle this, so let's go to Monkey Boy. What's your favorite episode?
So without referring to my little spreadsheet that I have right in front of me, which I won't, it's kind of funny, but I wouldn't even say it's an episode. It's just the Mary Poppins episode. And honestly, if that's all it was in that whole episode, it still would be my favorite episode. But that was, I'm even struggling to remember. That was the Moddy episode, right? The Modigliana
episode. That was
episode
9, Modigliana.
Yes.
Yeah. So I liked all that episode. Everything about it was funny, but particularly the the Mary Poppins bit. It was just ridiculously funny. I was like crying of laughter in that episode. So that's
that was actually my favorite one as well. Second, if I can't have the same option, would probably be the Rhett in the Moon. For some reason, that's the most memorable one.
I love that because I didn't like that episode at all, and I remember thinking, Mike yes. really loves this. What's wrong with him?
Was he dropped as a child? Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah, you really liked that one. Yeah, I remember.
You just kept thinking anal probes. I think that's why you had such a preference for it.
No, I didn't like that. Oh, actually, yeah. Okay, so I like the Double Trouble one as well, where they duplicate everyone. I still feel like that could have been way better. Yeah, that could have been the best episode of the show if that was executed
well. I think it's obvious that that's my favorite as well, and I think you just have to look at Monkey Boy's stats when it's got the highest average at 9.33 to tell that that was easily the high point of the of the season.
So it also shows that my rating is crap, given that I gave that one. Oh, you gave another episode 10, Swinney, I just see.
Yeah.
I gave that one an 8, even though I say it's my favorite episode. So my rubbish ratings. That's for sure.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, second category, the worst episode of season one.
Okay. actually,
this is interesting.
Okay, you know what? You know what's interesting? I might actually think... I'll lead the charge on this one. I probably won't even say that this is the worst episode. I would actually probably say that the Couch Potatoes episode was the worst because it was only 3 episodes in and it was so deflating that I was like, oh, man, like... I came up with this crazy idea of doing this Ferals podcast, and 3 episodes in, I'm like, this is just horrible. So it was a bad episode, and it actually made me feel bad. But the following episodes after that were pretty good, so it kind of evened it out. So, how about you, Swinney?
No, I definitely think that this was the worst episode, but because we've talked a lot about this episode, I will mention a dishonorable mention for...
Yep.
The 15 Seconds of Fame mm-hmm. episode, which was episode 7.
God.
And that got a lovely average of 3.67 from us all.
With the buffer of the 6 from Mike.
You know it.
Yeah, I know, with the buffer, that's insane. But then again, this episode got the buffer as well. So, no, just Moddy singing. And I think the face palming the egg into the lady's face probably saved that episode, so...
You know what? Like, it's funny how that Moddy singing in the 2 worst episodes as... Or, like, you know, there's 3 bad episodes that we all rated pretty badly, and Moddy is singing in 2 of them. Albeit brief in this episode that she was singing, but...
So, Mike, your worst episode?
Look, I have the memory of a goldfish, so I really don't remember anything beyond the current episode that I watched about...
Wait, there are no bad episodes. You've rated them all 6 minimum.
So, for some reason, the rock horror one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
bad.
I liked it as much as the other ones. There was like a low 6.
Given that you have another 5 numbers that you could rate things that you've never rated.
It was a low 6.
It's a low 6.
It wasn't a 5.
You know what a low 6 is? It's a 5 or a 4. Given your scale, okay. You can stretch that out massively.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Category 3.
Wait, just can I hold on? Rock horror?
I'm trying to get through this, by the way.
Rock horror. What episode was rock horror? Episode 9?
I just remember the pet rock.
Episode 8. No, we rated that pretty highly. 776. Anyway.
Yeah, but it was a low 6.
Yeah, no, well, I'll go by my rating, 7, so we rated it the same, Swinney. Anyway, sorry, go on.
So, category 3, favorite puppet character. So, Monkey Boy.
Can we say, let's try to keep it a bit more interesting. Can we say that you can't say someone else's favorite?
What?
And if we say that, can I say Swinney gets to go first on this one?
Okay, you're probably not going to know my favorite character.
It's Mixie.
If you listen to the podcasts, you'll probably pick up that it's actually Darren. Really, really yep. like Darren.
The Wombat. The Wombat.
Yeah. Darren. No, I actually really like Darren. To me, he's actually really interesting, and I love the whole thing part where he was training fleas, and the fact that even in this episode they're trying new things with the character, and he's just a really endearing character to me. So,
all right, if
and
I
obviously Keith is cool, but
if I ask the question, which character develops the most in this in this whole show, you'd actually probably say Darren.
Yeah, I
would say so.
This is crazy. Okay, how about you, Mike? Who's your favorite Poppet character?
Probably Peter the Platypus. Yeah, he was pretty good.
We're watching a different show now or something?
Okay, my favorite one would have to be Keith. Why? Because I keep freaking saying, oh, yeah! I'm sitting there at work and someone asks me for something and I'm like, oh, why? Yeah! It's so bad.
Okay, Monkey Boy.
For me, Raddus. Just because he's evil. He's funny. He's got a good sense of humor. Plays poker. What could be wrong with this guy? So no,
pretty much because he's a mirror image of yourself.
You learn a lot of your...
similar. In looks and
you
thinking.
You grew up on Raddus, so I think he's had a profound effect on
him. Yes, I grew up on him. That's right, on his back. I think my whole bit about everyone has to pick different things is unnecessary for this one, but maybe necessary in the next one. But anyway, move on.
Yeah. Okay, so category four, favorite human character. now, these aren't cameos. These are the main members. So.
Okay, can we all say our answer at the same time?
Okay.
So whatever your answer is, we'll say it on three. So one, two, and then the name. Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Okay, ready? One, two,
Robbie.
Joe.
Two, Joe.
Okay, so two Joes and a Robbie?
I didn't want to say Joe.
But you thought Joe?
Yeah, but Robbie's hotter.
Hotter.
I know, like, you're just amphibious.
I think we'll let Mike explain his Robbie in hopefully...
There's not much to explain.
In a professional manner.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe, you can't go past Joe as a character.
Joe's so good.
It's just he is the show.
He's so good. The more Joe, the better. I feel like if we had a Joe index, it would correlate to the good episodes.
All right, category five, the nicest character.
Robbie. Oh, nice as in, like, nicest.
I'd say Mixie.
Not evil.
I'd say Mixie.
I just picked up one. You're an arsehole. Not an arsehole, sorry. You're a sleaze.
Darren.
You're an idiot. Darren. I'd say Mixie.
Well, Mixie's nice, but then Mixie has a lot more moments where she goes really angry and almost like she's got a split personality. He does, like, in this one, but he does only because he's imitating the show, whereas consistently in 14 episodes, he's just been nice. Whereas she just seems like she's got a split personality or something. Sometimes she's really nice, and sometimes she just goes completely bonkers.
I would say Mixie as well.
Yeah.
Now, if we were doing this recap at, like, episode six or so, I would have said Robbie.
Yeah, I would have said Robbie as well. She's gone evil.
But then that Valentine's episode, she was a bitch.
But also, when you recap, like, the earlier episodes, you sort of frame what she does as a bit more evil, because what she does later, you're like, oh, maybe she wasn't really being playful. She's being, like, a bit vindictive and nasty. You know, when she was doing the whole ghost machine and tricking them all that the ghost was real and stuff? Mm. Like, I don't know. So, yeah, I agree. That I would have said her. Anyway.
Okay. Category six, the most evil character. Monkey Boy?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean,
really?
You'd think that you'd say Raddus, but I think
it's a pretty obvious.
No, I think, like, Moddy is more evil than Raddus.
But
Moddy is, like, much, much, much more self-centered. Also, just much more sort of dismissive of people. And
yeah, but
Raddus understands how he tries to get things out of people.
Let me ask
Whereas
you this.
Moddy
though.
Doesn't
yeah,
care
let me
at
ask
all.
You this. Did Moddy ever say, "It's opening time"?
With a big, like, clippers. That was pure evil, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
So my answer is definitely Raddus.
Okay. Okay, I'll have
two Raddus is one Moddy.
Okay. That's a bad visual.
No, it really is.
Well, that's pretty bad. It's,
rule
30,
rule
one Moddy, one Joe.
Go on, go
okay.
on.
Category seven, the best cameo.
Mavis.
Nah, for me, definitely the Hey Dad termite. Just
does that count?
The Hey Dad in his true the Hey Dad guy in his true form, the little thing that destroys houses, destroys the world underneath people. So definitely that.
I can't go past Ric Flair. Mavis. Gotta be Mavis.
See, okay, I would agree that she had the biggest impact. I'm not sure if it's the best cameo for me, but she definitely had the biggest impact.
Yep. Okay. Category 8. The best one-liner. Yeah. Now, I've actually... I've put a couple down. Do you guys want me to mention a few that I liked? And there might be some that you... Because you'd have to obviously remember these.
So. Well, I still remember the bit that I really liked. Which
All
was...
Right, you go first.
That when Darren wanted back in, when he was like super smart, and then he goes into the shed and he talks to Motti and Raddus and he's like, oh, you know, are you happy... Oh, look, I can't actually remember the line. He's like,
yeah, that's the
no, but he was something along the lines of like, oh, you like, what, you just want me to leave? And they're just like, yeah, like they're just so dismissive of him. They're like, see you later. Nope. I still like that. I think it was they both said nope, like at the same time. So that's my favorite.
So Mike,
line.
Any one-liners that you
Oh yeah. That's it. That's the one-liner.
Okay, all right. Now, I've listed a few, so you guys might like a few of these. Very early one, Joe, things I'd do for a dollar.
That's pretty good. Yeah, exactly.
Raddus, a couple from Raddus, actually, where he's like, don't touch the button, Darren, and dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Medigliana episode where Darren brings a blanket to Medigliana and she goes, now burn it!
Yeah.
Raddus, when he's talking to Keith, which is, I know my limitations, bear!
That's good.
Joe, the good old UFO madness, wow! Line was
oh, yeah, that's right. But wow!
To me, the best one-liner has to be, to me... Oh, come on, Kyles! That has to be the number one.
Kids the
That's
best.
A catchphrase.
Come
That's
on, Kyles!
Well, okay, I'm just going through my notes in a sneaky way. Some of the other ones that I picked up on were Robbie, where she fails to do the audition, and then she's just like, huh, guess I'll just stick to medicine. yeah, no, they were pretty good. I should have prepared this.
All right. Yep. Okay. Category 9, the best Joe moment.
Okay,
oh,
yep.
Jeez.
I got one.
To me, there's a very clear winner for this, but
I loved the April Fool's one when he gets completely screwed over the entire time and then he falls in that ditch. Really? Yeah. I just loved that moment when he
that
falls
was
in
clear
the
winner.
Ditch. I don't know why.
I thought you were going to say when he freaked out, when he started, like, speaking tongues, he goes, la, la, la.
No, I just like the part where he falls
Yeah,
in
that
his
was
ditch.
So crazy.
What about you guys?
Okay, all right. I'm just going to say, for me, the best Joe moment was easily, I forget which episode it was, I think the Happy Birthday episode, when they're at the end and they've destroyed, like, Joe's place or whatever, and he goes on that massive tirade and then just screams, no!
Yeah, that was awesome.
And you put it at the end of our podcast episode. To me, that was the best Joe moment. But he's had so many.
Joe was awesome.
Yeah, so
I just can't remember half of them.
Yeah, like him and Raddus. Like, if you had to have a list of the best moments in the show per character, they would be like the two characters that you'd talk about, right? Like, just trying to like nail it down. I'm going through my notes really quickly. Joe.
Hooray for preparation.
No, I did think about it, but now, like, I don't know, you're coming up with good stuff here. I had it earlier. Now I'm like, forgot it.
All right, yes. Do we want to move on?
Yeah, maybe I'll come back to it.
All right.
Oh, no. Do you know what it was? It was a combination of Joe putting up the brick wall on Lenny and Robbie's house.
Oh, yes, and the brick wall.
And then rocking up in the beard, like as if they won't recognize him.
Yes.
Which killed me.
Okay. I was going to put that down, but I couldn't remember what he was pretending to be, so I didn't note it down. So
yeah, okay, they're my two.
Now, the last category of the categories that you guys know is the number 10, the best digital device.
Oh, and look, to me, this is easy.
Okay, sorry, before we get into it, it doesn't have to be technically called digital in the show.
Okay, but we all know that every invention is really called digital on the patent.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
You might not have said the word.
I'll go first. Mine is easily the digital fart machine.
Of course, of course. That was like, it wasn't even a debate.
To me, it led into the greatest ending in the season of Radis huffing on the pipe.
That's so sick.
And I'll bring that up in one of the questions soon. So
okay. How about you, Mike?
I'm gonna go with the digital duplicator.
That is up there as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, do you know what? Why did they call that the digital deduplicator at some point? You know, because it duplicates, but then it also reverses the duplication.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Okay. All right.
Secret questions.
I've got some extra categories here. And these are actually multiple choice, but you don't have to choose from the choice. These are more options for you guys.
Just like the exam that I write. Just adding boxes.
No, it's more if you guys have anything else that you want to bring up, you can mention it. Okay. So the first category is the best Mike random fact.
Oh god.
Am I even allowed to answer?
Okay.
That?
Well, do I have to answer it?
Okay. We'll leave this to Monkey Boy.
Okay.
Alright. So number one is Alouette. Or Alouette the song.
That was good. I thought about that the other day. That was good.
B, selling landmarks to tourists. Which I was shocked. It was awesome.
I like how these things mean things to me. It's scary, but yeah, go on.
C is the Doom Door.
These are good. These are really good. The Doom Door? These are really good. Oh, these D, go on, yep.
And D is the Beetlejuice pizza.
Oh, jeez, this is tough. Okay, can I first say, when Mike had said all these four things, it made up for all the interruptions in the world. Because when he actually said these things, I was like, damn, that's right, yeah.
That's why we got him on the podcast.
I was like, he's an idiot.
You know
what?
Okay, I'll say this, because we were so off base, Swinny and I, with this one. I think all the other ones, they're like factoids and stuff like that, but this one was not necessarily a factoid, it was just connecting the dots. Which is like a nice segue into the Beetlejuice one, that he got the Beetlejuice thing right.
Yeah. So I kind of agree, but I just...
But I don't.
The Doom Door got me.
The Doom Door was my favorite, but I think, the Beetlejuice one blew me away. I was like, oh man, you're right, 100% right. It's such a weird pickup.
So, congratulations, Mike, for all those points. you had 4 points out of 15 episodes.
That brings my IQ to 64. Nice.
I left the fifth spot for this episode, but you let me down. So.
That's true. You were so good last episode, so few interruptions.
Okay. All right. The second category is the best credit segment. Okay. Now, I've got A, Dave Dobbins.
Good old Dave.
B, as the Ferrell's Fantastic Fun Book.
Mm, yep.
Or at least the excerpt from it. C, Brian Rooney in The Punisher.
Yeah.
D, Ferrell's cosplay. And E, Benchmark Creative Talent Agency.
I reckon the talent...
I can't believe these things mean
this. Yeah. The talent agency for some reason.
Well, actually, I think you missed one unless you've put it in a different category.
No, I didn't. If you're talking about the song.
No, I'm talking about
you
connecting the dots in the 6 degrees of separation, which is kind of a credit.
No,
thing.
I didn't put that in there.
I think that was one of the best.
That was
because
really good.
That last one where you were connected blew me away, because you're like one connection away from Nicolas Cage, right?
Two degrees from Nicolas
Cage. 2 degrees. That's crazy. That's crazy.
And the song. Yeah, can we mention the song? The song was awesome. I sent it to a few people, the song, and they absolutely loved it. Even people that didn't know
the song, I've got something later. Cool. That's fine.
Yeah, that's what I
love. I love the song. I appreciate so good.
For me, actually, for some reason, I love the Brian Rooney and the Punisher because you guys took so long.
I don't like it because it was embarrassing how I had zero idea. I feel like, honestly, I thought about it later and I'm like, I wonder if I would ever be able to guess it. Like, if I had 100 years and my life depended on it or something. That's a long life if I got another 100 years, but anyway.
Next category, there's two more after this, is, and this crosses both across the show and our podcast, is the most inappropriate moment.
Oh, God.
So, I have A, Robbie having candlelit Valentine's Day with Valentine's dinner with her Uncle Josiah.
Uncle B, in quotes.
Radis huffing on the pipe with the digital fart machine.
Yeah.
C, the pink dollar discussion. D, Leaky Webster. Or E, Mike's jokes, all of them.
Even the ones that have been edited out.
Of which there are many.
Which the most amount of editing is around your jokes, just trying to extricate them from the podcast. Ooh, most inappropriate. You know what? I actually thought the whole pink dollar thing was pretty inappropriate, because in your mind, the only thing gay people like or want to buy is anything pet related. Like, that's the only thing that defines them as being gay. Like, I remember listening to that episode again. I'm like, you don't come off well there.
There's more to it than that, John.
Okay.
Oh, that's the joke. I love it. That's the joke. How about you, Swinny? What was the most inappropriate thing?
I gotta say, probably the most inappropriate, I would say, is the Leaky Webster.
Yeah.
The album titles, which I think we did well enough, but there's times I'm like, oh God. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. I probably should have edited more of that out, to be honest. Kind of lost track.
So, Mike, your most inappropriate moment. It doesn't have to be on this list, by the way. And, sorry, your most inappropriate moment does not extend to your personal life.
Okay.
Yes, what you're about to do right now.
I actually, did we end up cutting out the bit about the neighbor?
That hasn't gone to air.
Okay, well, by the time people listen to this, that would have gone to air, so that would have to be it. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I might have to actually edit that out. This is going to be a weird edit. This is like in the future, but in the past by the people.
It's going to be in.
I know. You bastard. You're linking it all in.
Okay. All right. Last two. One of them short. Okay. So, best off-topic conversation.
Jeez.
So, some of the ones I've highlighted
are
banana soup, yellow fruit.
Hey, you leave my mom's banana soup out.
Anyway.
B, original... sorry, original. Aboriginal man on coin / Coinville. And I think that extended to the ghostly face on the building as well.
You did it, did it, actually.
C, identical twin careers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in the digital duplicator.
That was a real off-course fit.
That went for ages.
I know. That honestly went for like 20 minutes. I tried to edit it, and it still went for so long.
D, Mike's open mic night.
Oh, yeah. Which in every other good. Episode, yep.
E, Q-Basic Gorillas.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
And F, L. McPherson's little sister.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that goes up there as one of the inappropriate things. I feel like,
remember, it doesn't have to be at all of these. There's more I probably could have added, but I couldn't remember everything that was in
there. Yeah, I know, true. I feel like there was something really early in one of the episodes that we were just totally off course, but it was pretty funny. Ooh, What was the second last one?
Q Basic Gorillaz.
I'd say that one. That was like that was way off topic.
Like
we were just talking rubbish. Yeah, I know.
I don't even know why we were talking about.
Honestly, I know. I just put that one together the other day, and I can't even remember why we were talking about it. I honestly can't even think right now. Because
I listened to that like yesterday, and I couldn't remember.
The important part is we learned
something about worms. You're talking about something about worms. I totally forgot why we were talking about it.
So, Mike.
Oh, I actually do know what it was. Oh, wait, I think I do.
What?
I think it was Keith and the parabola of, like, Keith predicting where
That's
Darren
right.
is
yes,
going to
yes,
land.
Yes, I can't believe I remember that.
That's scary. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that was my off-topic.
All right. And last one is best
come
song.
On. Like...
Now, there's five options, okay?
Wait.
We've got A, Slowpaw.
Yeah.
B, Slowpaw. C, Slowpaw. D, Slowpaw. Or E, Black Music.
How about Moddy's song? Are we talking about songs in the show? Or
no, this was... If you really want to put a song from the actual episode, I'm happy to add that to the category.
No, definitely the Slowpaw. That was awesome. That was a good moment. I did like the Black Music one as well. Because I did it again. I heard Kylie say something that she didn't actually say. But yeah, I definitely think the Slowpaw one was the best. How about you, Mike?
Absolutely, yes.
It's pretty easy. Yeah. Is that the last category?
That's the last category.
The only one I have is I want to make love to beautiful women.
I don't know. There's a good battle between that and Black
true.
Music, though.
I think Black Music wins.
Yeah.
Sorry. For anybody that hasn't listened to that episode, it's rap music / Black Music. That doesn't make it sound any better.
I actually don't think it's rap music. I think it's Black Music.
No, it isn't.
It's not Black Music.
Look, that's what I think it is.
Do we have to play that track again?
No, we don't. No. We disagree. Okay. We disagree.
All right. Okay. So what's next?
Okay.
Feebles?
Well, yeah, I think that wraps up season one for us.
Indeed.
Next week, we're doing a special once-off, because we're only going to do Meet the Feebles once, once-off review of Meet the Feebles. Think of this as a much, much, much extreme version of the Ferals. Would you say it's like the Ferals on LSD? Would that be right?
Yes.
It'd be a ballpark.
I would say it's the Ferals on every kind of hallucinogenic possible.
What is it? Ferals on speedballs or something like that.
Then we're taking like a 6-month holiday.
No. We're gonna, show business. It's always about, I actually forgot. Always go on with the show.
The show must go on, like Enrique.
That's right. We're learning from Enrique.
Exactly. How do we not mention Enrique and Iglesias in those options? Anyway. So yes, the song.
We talked a lot of crap in 15 minutes.
That's true. And another 15 to go, plus a few bonus episodes. One thing I will say is I'm going to work extremely hard on trying to secure some interviews with cast and crew. So that would be pretty fun. Hopefully after 15 episodes, they can see that, this is going to be etched in stone. These podcasts, someone's going to take the bits and chip it into stone.
Indeed.
So they're preserved forever. So yes.
Can you try to get one with Mavis? I mean,
Mavis.
It's pretty easy. You just have to go to a graveyard.
Is she alive?
You just have to go to a graveyard and hold the.
Oh my God. I want Joe. Can we have Joe? Joe's so hot. I want his babies.
That's the intro of you're probably
Crap.
Listening.
I was just about to say we're about to leave on a high point, and then he goes and does that.
Okay, so we're saying sayonara to season one, and look forward to season two.
Adios.
Bye.
Say hello to Sue.
Sayonara.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.